How's it going, everybody? Welcome back to 30 Minute You. My name is Mir with your co-host, Carmen. There are so many podcasts out there, but 30 Minute You is a special podcast designed to provide you mentorship in literally 30 minutes or less. Today, we're talking about all things salary, side hustles, income. How much money do I need? How can I make more money? So tune in, guys. This is going to be special. I want to start off with some statistics. Then we're going to dive right in, Carmen. 63% of U.S. consumers are living paycheck to paycheck. One third of U.S. consumers say they currently have no money saved.
We again, for our listeners that are week to week, we don't prepare for this. No. So I'm not versed with your statistics. You said 65%?
63% of consumers are living paycheck to paycheck.
I would take the over. Yeah. And what was the second one?
One third of U.S. consumers say they currently are not saving any money. And then on the latter, 60% don't have any savings.
Yeah, I would take the over.
Yeah, and on the latter of that point, more than half of Americans don't have enough in savings to cover a $1,000 emergency expense. Imagine you lose your job tomorrow. You got freaking rent payments. They can't even cover that. And 60 million plus Americans have debt and collections.
But we're talking about making money.
Yeah, we're talking about making money. So someone's listening to this. Someone doesn't have any savings. Someone is living paycheck to paycheck. Someone wants to make some money. How do we make money? What does income mean to you? Like, you know, what are side hustles like? Like, brainstorm with us.
You know that I like this topic, and I also am nervous about the topic because there's so many people who, and students or young folks, that are interested in that ancillary income, that, as you describe it, that side hustle. And there's so many people who, you know, we've talked about this before. Our parents, you know, that generation, they worked 30, 40 years. You know, they got the golden watch at retirement. That was like what their job was the security forever. Nowadays, if somebody's working for a company for 3 years, they're a dinosaur. They're a veteran, you know, Yeah, I think there's a lot to be said about the side hustle. I don't want to say it's an aggressive opinion about it, but a pretty pointed opinion, just having dealt with so many different generations or just different years of people sort of diving into it. My X-Men story, my genesis, and I don't know if we've ever really talked about it, but I started off with the literal side hustle, but I would describe it as a copying phase. Okay. So I copied. I remember in college, there was a company called CollegeWorks. I don't know if I get sued for talking about this stuff, but I think we're over the statute of limitations. But CollegeWorks was a company that came to campus and targeted undergraduate students and said, hey, we'll give you the resources to start your own painting company. And you want to go out there and knock door to door and land painting contracts. And then we'll give you a rip of the contract. So I remember going to that seminar. And I remember sitting there and I looked at, okay, well, what are the resources that you're giving me? And I kind of boiled it down. By the way, I'm probably, now that I'm thinking through this as an attorney, I am going to get sued from it, but against statute of limitation. What I thought was they're really just giving you insurance. You know, the skills of painting is maybe 1 or 2 weeks, but really it's sales. So we started our own painting company.
How old were you?
I was 19.
And keep in mind, guys, I've known Carmen. He's a good friend of mine for a while now. This is not a guy that's inherited a family business. This is a guy that had to go, just like you listening. I mean, our listeners are people that are trying to do that and are trying to make money. So I think that's what makes it cool. Continue with the story.
Yeah, no, I didn't come from money, but I had that entrepreneurial spirit. I started a loft building company, furniture building, like in college dorm rooms.
How do you do that with no money?
We lived in dorm rooms, and well, we did it with sales. You know, we oversold ourselves. I probably referenced, you know, in building furniture, I probably referenced Jesus as a family member, as a carpenter. Like, I was just like pulling it way back. But one of the cool companies was Spring Break. Again, company comes to campus, says, you know, we will sell you spring break companies. And I looked at it and said, wait a minute, I can copy this. And that's what I was saying. I can copy this, you know, sort of painting company, this loft building company, the spring break company. I remember Bianchi Rossi Tours, Extreme Trips, Student City. I worked with all of those. And really, we started our own little sales company where we would identify the market that we had and sort of sell. But that was in college. To me, that was the introduction of side hustle. Now let's talk about, you know, we're 6 minutes in. Let's talk about where we are today. A lot of people are saying, okay, should I save my money to start my own venture? Mm-hmm. And how much should I save? And should I start a side hustle similar to the loft, similar to the painting? Like, you know, anybody can paint on the way. Anybody could start an LLC, right? We've never done an episode on that, but starting a company is not that difficult. But that whole concept of saving, how do you save today, Mir? Yeah. How do students and recent graduates and young professionals save with rent, with student loans, with, like, what is the trip that you have? And I'm going to ask you, yep, what is the trip that you have earmarked that you want to take this year? I'm serious. What flight? Like, tell me.
I really want to do Italy.
Okay. But everybody has that, right? Yeah, yeah. And Italy, you know, you want to, yeah. Okay. So you're booking your flight and your hotel. Yeah. So everybody has that. What are you saving at the end of the year?
Yeah.
Take your weekly expenses, take your Tinder dates, deduct every expense that you have. You're definitely doing your annual sort of trip.
Yeah.
There is that concept of saving to start a company. I get it. Like, that's very different and difficult.
Yeah.
I'm going to pivot on that. Instead of focusing on depositing dollars, And this was big to me. This is what made me, but it also helped lay a lot of the bricks to the foundation. Instead of depositing dollars, I would deposit relationships. Mm. You're going to go to the bank with your paycheck and make a deposit into the savings account. I don't know. I'm not indicting how much you make or how much that you have, but that concept is very, it's very different, and I don't want to say limiting, but not as fulfilling as depositing relationships.
Yep.
So what I really focused on when I was younger, when I was in college, and again, I understood I really grasped that entrepreneurial spirit, but I wanted to meet with people. I remember meeting with the big hotelier in town, Peter Fox. Yeah. Shout out to Peter Fox. And I remember wanting to really understand certain businesses and taking those coffees. And I wasn't asking for anything except for the opportunity to listen. And I would bank that relationship. I remember when I worked in college and I'd take on a bunch of different jobs. And I can't say that every company that I sort of started and brought my friends in was successful, but you learned so much. And that's what you deposited. That's what I deposited. I deposited those relationships so that when I graduated and when I actually had the idea, I wasn't going to my savings account, which was, you know, left very little by student loans, which I still have, or the trip to Italy, which I still did. I went into my savings account with those relationships that I banked. Mm-hmm. I went to them and went for a loan. If you go to a bank today and you're like, well, I've got $2,600 here and I want to start a restaurant, so to speak, just from personal, and I need $900,000. You know, the banker can't make sense of it. But if I go to my bank of relationships, you know, that's what we should be really focusing on. And I'm not suggesting that creating a savings account and having the concept of savings and sort of squirreling money away is not a fruitful discipline. I'm just really saying that taking all of the excess time and really focusing on developing those relationships that you can bank, that you can go to when you're ready for that side hustle, that's worth way more.
It's so funny. A close friend of mine lost their job last month. And one thing I told them was literally on this concept, which was like, I'm having such a hard time here finding a job. I'm applying everywhere on LinkedIn and I can't get anything. And I told them, I was like, look, the biggest reality check for your job and relationships is as soon as you lose a job, if you can't get a few interviews within the first 2 weeks, like if you can't call people to get in the right rooms, you don't have strong enough relationships. Everyone talks about this network, network, network. If you can't lose your job and then go and find and have, you don't have to have a job, but interviews and be in front of people, you don't have strong enough relationships, which is why 100% I agree with you, which is, hey, you need to work on those relationships because those compound.
But that's, but we're making an assumption here. That's if you have a side hustle mm-hmm. or idea that you want to launch, mm-hmm. okay, that you could then go. I know you a little bit. I know that you're an investor. You've done stocks. You've actually shared on this program. You've shared on your own platforms, mm-hmm. your journey, which I would describe as hopefully on the uptick, but at least somewhat of a roller coaster. Do you think a lot of folks, do you think a lot of your listeners, do you think a lot of people are treat their side hustle and their savings with investing dollars?
That's the challenge is you hit the nail on the head initially, which is, hey, you know, if I'm making money, where do I have time to invest? Because if I'm spending on dates, if I'm spending on rent, heck, you go to Whole Foods now, you get groceries. Groceries are through the roof. I mean, everything is so expensive. You get a drink. Everything is just ridiculously priced. Having said that, I don't think most people are doing two things, investing in themselves and investing in general. I think it's become easier. Like the reality is, what I recommend to every Gen Z graduating today is there's no excuse why you can't download one of these apps. Acorn's one of them, and we're not sponsored by anyone right now, but you can invest $5 a week, $10 a week. All of a sudden, it becomes $40 a month. All of a sudden, I got $600 a year in the S&P. All of a sudden, over 10 years, there's this compounding. But most people don't think like that. Most people can't think like that.
Boy, what a central difference between Mir and I is he is a conservative. He is a conservative, not just investor, but saver. You will save, not save your, but save or. you will save money. You will put that money aside, whereas I will leverage, I will spend. But not that, you're probably more right than I am, but it's clearly two different paths. On the saving side of things, listen, I don't think you have any listeners that don't have high aspirations,
sure.
that don't want to make more money, that want to understand. I'm somebody who believes that in any market, in any economic scenario, in any geographic location, I can make money.
Yeah.
I believe that. I'm incredibly subjective and probably mildly arrogant, but I truly try to understand the underlying opportunity that is available in markets. And I believe that all markets have an opportunity, some just very difficult to find. You know, on the investing side, what was your experience like? Because I'll tell you, I'm not somebody who I've done stock market investments. I've done mild crypto. I can't even say I've done crypto investments, but I am curious what your experience has been. Because you're doing this to then profit,
sure.
to then convert your profits into assets. I'm asking.
You're 100% correct. So there's a few different types of investments. You can invest in public markets, S&P 500, stocks like Apple, Starbucks, et cetera.
Your blue chips.
Yeah. You can invest in alternatives. So invest in things like real estate.
Yeah, but why are you, don't educate. Everybody knows that. What did you do?
So for me, the thing was initially was just the S&P 500. So that was something for me where it was just every month I put a ton of money every single month away. Over time, that allowed me to earn not only just the dividends, but the capital appreciation. So I get capital appreciation from S&P. It was the best of both worlds. And then I get the dividends. But it's like, to your point, it's not the super sexy way of like getting rich and what everyone wants to get rich. It's not a get rich quick. It's a get rich for sure over time. Because over time, when you're getting the S&P, you're betting on America. if the S&P goes under, then we have bigger problems.
Did you do any crypto?
So I like, it's weird for me because I always was fascinated by crypto, and I saw, I watched so many people from the crypto space come in and make millions. Like there's people that these Dogecoins and all this garbage made 5 million, 10 million, 15 million, all this stuff. I never got into the hype. I never touched it because I'm a conservative guy. Like I'm all about capital preservation. Like I want to maintain my capital and grow it over time.
Yeah, blue chipper.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah. But for, let me ask you then on that concept, because crypto is something that is like apparently a force to be reckoned with. I mean, everyone's talking about crypto now. Everyone's involved in it. We just had a crypto winter. What do you think of crypto? Like, do you invest in it personally?
This is the segue where it should be a panel or it should be an entirely different segment. My mind is literally trying to keep up with my mouth right now as I try to formulate my thoughts as to how I want to approach this subject.
Give me the
I'll give you the raw. But let me make it fruitful for those listening, and maybe they've invested in crypto. Maybe they know somebody who's invested in crypto, or maybe they just go to Thanksgiving dinner and fight with their family and crypto is a subject matter that they want to become an expert on. Right now, it's actually pretty fascinating because crypto to me is an incredibly volatile, right now it's incredibly volatile, right? If you time market, I believe we're at about 29,000 and change. The SEC is yet to rule as to whether it is a commodity or security, but the SEC hasn't yet ruled on it. Sounds boring. What would be more boring is this 1946 Supreme Court case in which it defined what a security was. But I take a totally different view on crypto. So I understand it as an investment tool. I'm more inclined to believe that it's a security. I have incredibly close friends, and I don't know if they listen to this podcast, but I have some friends who are some of the biggest leaders in the world in cryptocurrency. And again, I say, I don't know if they would be listening to this. They talk about this as a commodity. I take a very different view. I'm yet to see my view become publicized, which is not to say that it is wholly organic, but rather, to me, this is something you invest in. You invest in it for a profit. It is a thing like Amazon or Apple, like the other stocks you were talking about. So I lean a little bit more as a security, but let's separate that.
Do you own any Bitcoin?
No, I don't. The reason why I say it's volatile right now is because until the SEC rules whether it's a commodity or security, it's a big deal. And Coinbase is actually, I believe, challenging, if not suing the SEC to define this, although that needs to be fact challenged. When the current American administration doesn't, there's been presidential administrations, multiple that have had to deal with the advent of cryptocurrency. When they create economic platforms like the Build Back Better, so that's the Biden, you've heard of Build Back Better. When they had the stimulus program under Trump, when they had the Infrastructure and Jobs Act, which is also under Biden, which is roads, infrastructure, and they're putting in trillions of dollars. What does a cryptocurrency person say? The value of the dollar is nothing, right? Look at them flooding and creating new dollars. How could you value this dollar? The United States government continues to make more and more dollars, and it's just driving the price of the dollar down. And we need a stable currency that has a uniform, not just the United States, but global impact like Bitcoin. The difference is the utility of it. The reason I don't love crypto today, and I have a ton of suggestions, and if somebody wants to pay me for my ideas, I'm happy to solicit, but the reason why I don't love cryptocurrency is because there's no utility over the exchange of economic value. When the United States creates these programs, there's a lot more utility than just the economic value of the exchange of a dollar. There's contracts, there's jobs, there's infrastructure improvements, there's education, there's roads, there's minority benefit, there's minority opportunities from disillusioned and forgotten neighborhoods. There's so much behind that. Okay, so right there, we're not. It's not just the dollar. It's the utility and capacity of that dollar. Then you take in, say, well, the United States isn't ignoring cryptocurrency. And they're not. They're creating their own digital currency. They're creating their own digital platforms. And quite frankly, it's nerving to bet against the United States. They have a ton of resources and a ton of intelligence behind that. So I don't think that cryptocurrency is a risk.
Where do you think Bitcoin's headed?
I don't think it's going anywhere, but it's not somewhere where I would put my dollars behind, because I believe there's other opportunities, and the volatility of it is, and quite frankly, on a whim's notice, on a ruling by the Supreme Court or the SEC, that market could, yes, it could go up. It could go up if ruled as a commodity, but if ruled otherwise, you know.
I think we need a full episode on just crypto.
Yeah, I think I bored the audience for a few minutes, but
I don't think so. I think that just instates the fact that we need to have a full episode. But then taking that, let's transition that, because people came here, they want to learn how to make money.
People want money.
Yeah. And so let me put you on the spotlight. You, like, if you just started out today again, knowing what you know, you can still keep your education. Like, what would you do to go make money? You're in Chicago right now. What are you doing to start? You only have $500 in your bank account.
Well, 500's tough. I'd go buy a nice pair of shoes if that's all I had. Yeah. You know? Well, there's so many emerging markets. So, you know, people want to talk about, well, I want to get into cannabis, right? Yeah. So I'm just talking, so I have, let's just say I'm out every night of the week, mm-hmm. and I'm elbow to elbow with all sorts of, in different neighborhoods throughout, from the north to the south into the central business district. People love to talk about money.
Yeah.
Especially during happy hour.
Yeah.
And because they're right out of work. And the questions and conversations are, how do I start? How can I make more money? What should I get into? And they talk about the emerging industries, right? They say, like, cannabis is legal. I want to get into cannabis. Sports wagering is legal. I want to get into sports wagering. I believe in this. Pioneers get slaughtered and settlers prosper. And the cryptocurrency world is in a pioneer stage. Even though it's been around for, you know, 15 years plus, the cannabis legalization is in a pioneer stage. The sports wagering is in a pioneer. You can't get into cannabis. Getting licensed and a... And sports wagering, they've made it impossible for the layman. You know, it's reserved only for the casinos. So those opportunities, while sexy and emerging, I think you have to look at them years from now. And we've talked about this on previous casts, yeah. But those opportunities for everyday entrepreneurs are a few years out, mm-hmm. Because right now they're in the pioneer stage.
What about things like Uber, Lyft, delivering groceries?
Okay. So product as a service.
Yeah.
So that is equity of time. And that is, you know, I think that you should always look at your general ledger, and despite whatever your main profession is, if you can allocate more time and equity to making a side hustle,
yeah
that's value add. Yeah. But the value add may only be whatever significant dollars. What you're actually talking about is taking those significant dollars and converting them into more wealth opportunities. I think my biggest suggestion is, you and I are renters, and we're in Ravenswood, and we each spend $2,300 a month. We spend $1,700 a month. So we net spend $3,400 separately in apartments. So for $3,400, you could, that's probably, although interest rates are a little bit rising, but that's a $400,000 plus mortgage that we could go in on. Now, we're negating one thing. We're negating the 3 to 5% down that we would have to put down in order to secure that $400,000. But what I'm really talking about, and I'm getting, you know, nuanced in numbers, but what I'm really talking about is real estate. Real estate, real estate. I don't understand anybody who's not working toward owning real estate. And I'm not talking about a high rise. I'm talking about just not spending your everyday or everyday dollar toward your monthly rent, but your everyday dollar into investing in yourself toward your mortgage. And here, again, I'm being a little basic and hopefully not boring, but time happens, man. Life happens. 1 year turns into five, turns into 10. You've built a ton of equity into paying yourself. Yes. And when you can go in on it with other friends and you can buy, you know, a two flat, a duplex, you know, where the subterranean unit can be, anyone who can figure that out, which is pooling their money together. And it's maybe that time and equity in those side hustles that allows you for the down payment. But in this country, there's so many programs for home buyers, new home buyers, where you can put in a minimal amount of money. And instead of paying rent, you're paying your mortgage. And are you netting at the end of the year? No, it's tough. The statistics on it are, you've got, if you're in a condo building, you've got, forget homeowners insurance, you've got, you know, assessments, you've HOAs, got yeah. HOAs, yeah, right. But when you're sharing it, that's where I'm saying, like, partnering up with a buddy or two.
Yeah.
Now, after, you'd be damn surprised how quick 3 to 5 years go where you've built that equity and you're able to then leverage that into the next project.
So if someone's starting out, right, like they want to get into multifamily, you think that's, they're 24, 25 years old. Do you wish if you went back, you started even earlier buying multifamilies?
Well, multifamilies right now are being built or are being bought up by some of the biggest REITs, and actually state legislatures are trying to cap and regulate against that. But sorry, that's just me nerding out for a second. Yes, I think that as a young 20 something, I think that you can partner up with a few friends, or even going back full circle, and I'll include this, is I'm in your network, going back to your bank account, your savings account with your relationships, and showing that, hey, we've got multiple units here that can be supported by our professional income, that if you partnered with us to buy this three flat, you know, if you afforded to pay the downstroke, Mr. Smith, yep, who I took a coffee with when I was in college, who I grew up next to, who's now in their 50s and say, who has the sort of income and, yep, discretionary or passive income to, yep, sort of invest in me for those reasons. That's where I think the wealth is created. My wealth came wholly, 100%, 110% from the relationships that I created and banked. It was never from the concept of, you can't save enough today.
Yeah.
There's no opportunity. I mean, that's the plight of the younger generations, is that there's no opportunity to save. What you should be focusing on, go out and have fun and spend, yeah, money, especially in my bars. But what I'm actually saying is develop those relationships, that savings account of your relationships that you've built with people, mm-hmm, individuals of higher net worth and higher network, that you can go back to and withdraw,
yeah,
from them from your good ideas. There's no question you don't have good ideas. There's no question you don't have opportunities.
Yeah.
But that's the pool to go to,
yeah.
Not the few bucks that you're putting in from your biweekly check.
Yeah, so this is relative, but I'm trying to hammer a point here. If I offered you, and it's relative to income, but if I offered you $100,000 and you don't have a lot of money or the five best relationships in your life now from a business perspective, which one are you taking?
What?
Assuming you don't have that much money.
The relationships.
Every time. Yeah.
Every time.
And hammer the
point.
I made
millions of dollars from relationships. I can't say I've made millions of dollars from $100,000 check. It's relationships. I can't, like, that's your savings account. That's what you're banking. That's your portfolio. That's your stocks. That's your crypto market. That is what you're pulling up in your phone and your app are your relationships and how healthy they are and how strong they are and how you can convert those relationships. Now, if you go to those relationships and just have a bunch of terrible ideas, yeah. They might go from green to red. Yeah. But more importantly, like, bet on yourself, bet on your relationships. It will always be that savings account of relationships.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sitting here, I'm listening to you talk about relationships. I see the watch on your wrist right there. Platinum Daytona. Like,
this actually did cost.
So that wasn't a relationship?
this was not. Yeah, yeah. This one cost the check. Yeah.
Okay. So that one came from actual cash.
But where did that check come from? Yeah. Yeah.
Relationships.
That's right.
So I guess in summary, as we're closing out here, for people that are struggling, they don't have money, they're living paycheck to paycheck, they should focus, when you think side hustle, I love the interesting thesis that we took here. It's less about doing things like Uber and Lyft. I'm glad we used that example because that's a time value equation, right? How much time am I going to be in the Uber car driving you around, driving X around, versus the relationship equity I'm building relationship with you, with him, with her, that can provide me numerous outsized returns over time.
Yeah, I mean, you how often do we, including myself, I'm building six projects right now. If I were to log into my Chase account, which I won't do, I don't even know the username, but I'd be depressed.
If you looked at that checking account?
I don't have anything.
What about your saving account?
Yeah, I don't even have one.
You don't have a saving account?
I do not have a savings account.
Dude, what?
I have saving mechanisms, but I do not have a savings account, no. But that's because I believe in the wealth of opportunities. Mm-hmm. You're way more risk averse. Yeah. Yeah. I'm more aggressive. So I want to take a dollar and try to turn it into two. And you want to take a dollar and try to stretch it into two. And that's a really cool academic way, but not to say one's right or wrong. Yours is probably more statistically right, but what I'm talking about is my savings account is massive, and it's the people, it's the relationships, and it's in so many breaths of the world. It's not just money. Relationships aren't just economic. Nope. No, they're emotional, they're support, they're hilarity and fun, they're zest and adventure. But you have to work them.
Yep.
Just like you work your stock portfolio and whatever you do to stretch a dollar into a dollar 2 cents, or however. I want to focus on those human being relationships and really cultivating them and growing them. And when I have to dip into my savings account, I've got some really strong commodities, not mm-hmm. securities.
Commodities.
I have some
nice.
Good. Yeah, I've got some really strong assets there that I can tap into.
Yeah. Well, guys, I love that we took a different perspective. What I love about 30 Minute You is you're not coming for just advice that you can go find on Google. Because when you think side hustles and you think about what we came to talk about, it's more than Uber, it's more than Lyft, it's more than going to work a part-time job, bottle service. It's actually developing relationships. And I think that is a huge gem that I took away. So Carmen, thank you for that. To close out the episode, just out of respect, we're going to need to take the watch from you. Yeah. I need it.
I had a really good time. Thank you for this one. We'll be back in 2 weeks.
2 weeks. We'll see you guys. That's 30 Minute You. We'll see you on the next university.